All right, good morning, church. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. So I want to continue this little mini-series impacting our home first, the church, and the world. And I looked at moms a couple of weeks ago, looking at children today. And listen, you see, you're still a child of God, so the principles are still going to apply to you. Don't shut off, say, I'm not a kid, okay? The principles will apply. I'm going to look at wives, husbands, and then eventually dads. Ronald Reagan said this: if we ever forget we are one nation under God, then we'll be under. Yeah. So today our moral society, especially in America and around the world, has gone away from the Bible and what God teaches in the schools. And now it's just permeating the whole society. Things that we would never, just the average person would think, man, I can't believe that we're going this way. Yeah. But always remember, it's not as wicked as it was in the day of Noah, right? We always think we have a kind of American perspective. You know, we look from America's standpoint. But man is wicked, left to himself, he always goes astray. It's only God in the Bible that keeps us on track, right? The truth. So in general, people have put the Bible aside. And homes now are breaking down more and more and more because, and even Christian homes, where the Bible is not the center of teaching anymore. We're running around, I said it a couple weeks ago, running around with our heads cut off, and then try to get our kids to come to church. But remember, I'm going to give you a few verses here. The church, our job, we have Sunday school, worship for junior worship, we have all these things for families, marriages, mastering motherhood, we're trying to do the best that we can. But always remember, it's the parents' job mostly, because you're with your kids most of the time, right? We may get them an hour a week or whatever. So God tells Moses a few things, and I'll put a couple of scriptures on the board. You just stay there. I'm going to have you turn here, and then Proverbs, and you're going to stay there. But Deuteronomy 4:10 says this: specifically the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, talking about he's getting the Ten Commandments. And when the Lord said unto him, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Deuteronomy 6:7 says this: and thou shalt teach them diligently. Right? That's not haphazardly. That's with a plan. You shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way. When you're at the mall, you're at this, and someone's this, or whatever, you're teaching them, hey, right? You're teaching them throughout life. You're at Walmart. And when thou liest down, you're putting them to bed, you're praying with them, you're doing a memory verse, whatever. And then when you rise up again. When I was at Atlanta, my grandson, Raph, by his little table, they have a door and there's little windows and they have all the memory verses, all his memory verses taped up and they keep going over them. I like that. Here's my main purpose, though. If you're a child today, you're teenagers, this generation is going further and further away from God. I've been reading statistics about people that just believe in God in America. They're just dropping. Whew. They're dropping. So I'm going to give you three main principles if you're a child of children or you're a child of God, that if you do this, you're going to be blessed. And I'm not going to give you all the benefits of obeying God. So the first thing, you're taking notes. Follow God. So how do you impact your home and the world as children? Follow God and your parents' commands or instructions. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says, children, obey. It's the Greek word hubokuo. And he has the idea to hear, to understand, with the idea of, I'm going to conform to the commands of God. Now I'm going to talk about parents here. There's no perfect parents. There's no perfect kids. We're all a bunch of sinners, right? I've grown as a parent, and I look at my first two kids and last two kids, and not that, but I just, you learn to grow in grace. You learn to trust them more. You got to keep learning, and you're going to have to say, will you forgive me? Hopefully the kids will learn to say that back to you. So it says, Children, obey your parents in the Lord. So in the Lord always means what God says. So if your mom and dad tells you to go steal, go to the bank and steal some money, you're going to say, no, mom, that's against the Lord. But most of the parents, any normal parent is not going to tell their kid to disobey, right? For this is right. So it's the idea of morally right. This is not a custom. Verse 2, honor. And so that's the attitude of heart. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment. It means the primary importance. With promise. So there's, and I'm going to look at that. There's divine assurance. When you obey God's word, you're going to be blessed. And I'm going to show you that at the end of the message. Now I'm going to quote some verses. Just stay with me, okay? We're going to throw them on the screen. Proverbs 1:8. It says, my son, hear. It shama, it means to hear intelligently in order to obey. That's the deep understanding of that word. The instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 6:20 through 22 says, my son, keep thy father's commandments, forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart. How do you do that? Meditation, memorization. I'm so excited. More people are memorizing the word every week now. And tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. See, God's word's going to lead you. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Right? So there's some good examples of the Bible. I just want to share three real quick ones with you of people who are obedient to their parents or to God in a sense. So look. Everybody sitting here has to submit to somebody. Is it easy? Absolutely not. We always want our way, right? So teenagers, kids, you're sitting here and say, if your parents tell you to do something and it's not against God's word, you have to obey. And you say, I know better. Go take it to work, in the church, wherever it is. I have to get a hold of this, is it? If it's not sin, you have to obey, and you're going to be blessed. When we fight against it, we're not going to win. I'm going to show you that towards the end of the message. All right, let me give you Abel. Abel gave the right sacrifice, Cain did not. Hebrews 11:4 says this, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. So it's his attitude of belief. I don't think it was just the sacrifice itself. It was the heart belief. Then came, by which he obtained a witness that he was a righteous God, testifying of his gifts. And by it he, now watch this, last statement. Being dead, Abel, yet he speaketh. What speaks? His testimony of being a godly person. So I want you to think about in your life and in my life, are we a godly testimony? When we're dead, is our life still going to speak and minister to people? Another one is Isaac. Isaac laid down on that wood, and most believe he's probably 18, 19, maybe 20 years old, when he said, lay on that wood. Let me put the verses up. Genesis 22:6-9. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. He laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand, a knife. They went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. He said, behold, the fire, the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offerings? I mean, he knew the drill. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place where God had told of him. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son. Now, it doesn't say he struggled. And he laid him on the altar. Of course, God would bring a ram, and that wasn't his purpose. His purpose was to show, do you love me more than your son? That's another thing as parents. Sometimes we put our kids before God. And I'm not saying we shouldn't love our kids and train our kids. This is the whole message is all about. But when God is first, we'll always be the right parent, we'll be the right husband, we'll be the right wife. When that gets reversed, we're going to think on our own. I'm going to touch that in a minute. One more quick one is Joseph. Joseph obeyed. His dad said, hey, go check on your brothers. And his brothers hated him. He's like, no, I ain't going, Mom. Dad, I ain't going. They hate me. That's what you hear today from a normal teenager. But he obeyed. And he went. And they, all three of these, obeyed their parents, and they were blessed in their life. Despite the consequences of whether they liked it or they didn't like it. I'm going to talk about this today. We go by feelings. I feel this isn't the right thing to do. Instead of just obeying what is right according to God's word. It's hard to obey sometimes. Even when the word says this and you want to do the opposite. I found this true story of this soldier who was a Christian. And I'm just going to read it to you. It's John Johnson, Book of Courage. You can't stand strong in the midst of fear. It was World War II. It was at the height. Forces were engaged, and it was known as the Battle of the Bulge. I actually worked with somebody who was there. Man, they said it was, snow was this high. What they went through at the Battle of the Bulge was incredible to read about it. It was the Christmas War of 1944. It was really cold and a lot of snow. The Allied forces bombed and established control strategies. The commanding officer turned to several of his men and said, "Sweep across the field and kill all German soldiers still entrenched in the snow. I want no prisoners," he says, "absolutely none." One of the American soldiers selected gives his account what happened. He says, "As I walked, I immediately shot and killed two wounded and suffering soldiers. He continues, then he suddenly approached a tall, young, broad German. He was leaning against a tree. He was wounded, but he was just simply exhausted, but he wasn't dying. He had no food, no water, no comrades in sight, no ammunition, fear, fatigue, defeated, loneliness. He was just overwhelmed, but he spoke English. He says, "When I noticed a little black Bible in his shirt pocket, he reminisces, we started talking about Jesus and salvation. Wouldn't you know it, this is lanky German soldier turned out to be a born-again Christian who deeply loved the Lord. I gave him water from my canteen. I gave him crackers. We prayed together. We read God's word together. We wept together. His voice began to tremble as tears splashed down his cheeks. His face began to reflect anguish. It seems like only yesterday we stood a foot up or so apart as he read Psalms from his German Bible. Then I read Romans 12 from the King James translation. He showed me a black and white picture of his wife and his daughter. The soldier took a deep breath. You see, in those days, I was a young man in my 20s, and I just graduated from a college, Christian college in Illinois, and hadn't had time to sort out all my thoughts of war. A couple more paragraphs. Maybe that's why I did what I did," he said. "I bid my German brother farewell, took several steps away, then returned to the soldier." Romans 13. So all the verses now going in his head. Romans 13, "Thou shalt not kill," commandment, "the promises of eternal life," the Prince of Peace, he says, the Sunday school distinction between killing and murder, the irrationality of war. He said all those things swirled in his mind. When the German soldier saw me returning, he bowed his head, closed his eyes in the classic prayer posture. Then it happened. I said three crisp sentences that I still repeat once or twice a week when I have nightmares about the war. He says, "You're a Christian. I am too. See you later." And then in a second, I shot him because I had to obey my commander. So the whole point of me bringing this is that when we are, say you're a teenager here, a young person, and listen, I go back and have your kids listen to this. They're going to think, my mother told me to do this, my father told me to do this, and I think there's something that's better to do. I feel... Take this to work, take this wherever. If it's not sin, you need just to obey. It's that simple. And you'll be blessed of it, and I'll show you that in a minute. All right, the next principle. Do not hang around with the wrong company. And that goes for all of us. Okay? So obey what your parents tell you, what God instructs you to do. And don't hang around with the wrong crowd. All right? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. You're going to stay in Proverbs. Get your phones up. I want you to see the verses. Some of these I'm not going to throw on the screen. Some I am. Proverbs chapter 1. Get the book of Proverbs. I'm going to have you turn three or four places. I'm going to quote some other verses. Let's just start in verse 10. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent not. Don't go with them. If they say, 'Come with us,' Let us lie in wait for blood. I mean, basically, are committing murder. Let us lurk privily. It's like the idea of an ambush for the innocent without a cause. Let us swallow them up alive as a grave, whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. They're saying, come on, join us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net spread in the sight of any bird. So a bird's trying to not get trapped there. It's saying, don't be simple-minded and get trapped. And they lie in wait for their own blood and look privily for their own lives. Turn to Proverbs 7 really quick. Proverbs 7. It says, my son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee, keep my commandments and live. My law is the apple of thine eye, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thy heart. How do you do that? Meditating, memorizing. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, call understanding thy kinswoman. Watch now, verse 5. They that may keep thee from the strange, and talking about an adulterous woman, think a man, anyone is going to leave you away. This is all sexual here. Listen what happens. For the strange woman flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked upon my casement. I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went for her to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black, in the dark night, and behold, there met with him a woman with the attire of a harlot, subtle of heart, so she's crafty. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without. So she's outside. Now in the streets, lieth in wait at evening. She caught him and kissed him with an impotent face unto him. And I have peace offerings with me this day. I have paid my vows. She's saying, look, come on, let's have dinner together. Therefore I come forth to meet thee. Diligently I seek thy face, and I found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I perfume my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning, and let us solace ourselves with lovers. For the good man is not at home. Hey, my husband's not here. He went on a long journey. He had taken a bag of money with him. He will come home at that day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield with the flattering of her lips, and she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of stocks, till a dart strike through his liver and his bird hasten to the snare, knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline her ways, go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. I'm going to talk about our companions, who are companions, in a minute. This is an obvious thing. Hey, teenagers, don't be alone with some girl or some guy saying, I love you, we just do this. Don't put yourself, one of the places I'm going to talk about as companions is in a certain place. Nobody's strong enough. Nobody. Everyone can fall. I remember going out with Linda when I was 27 years old. We never went all the way. We kept our clothes on, but listen, if I go back, some of the things that, you know, no one, when you get married, says, I wish we went further. Nobody ever says that. But nobody's strong enough. You put yourself in those positions, you're going to fall. I can't go into detail. I'm just trying to give you a generals here, right? Let me give you three men in the Bible that were the smartest guy in the world, the strongest guy in the world, and the best warrior in the world, and all of them fell in this area. Samson's the first guy, the strongest guy that ever lived. Judges 14, 1 through 3 says, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistine. So an unbeliever. He came and told his father and his mother, said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me for a wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there not a woman among the daughters of thy brethren? Isn't there a saved godly person you could end up with? Thou goest to a wife of an uncircumcised Philistine, and Samuel said to her, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Because it was an arranged marriage, right? The parents arranged that. Proverbs 28:7 says, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is companion of riotous men shameth. And that means, I looked up that word, it means wounds and insults to his father. Proverbs 22:24-25, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Why? Verse 25, lest thou learn his ways. No matter what it is, all right, you're going to get a snare for your soul. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications or associations corrupt good manners. So what are our companions? Because right away you just think people. I'll get to people in a second. But it's more than that. It's what we watch. The movies you watch. The YouTube channels you go on. Right? All of us. All of those things are our companion at that time. They are going to influence us. Are they corrupt? Then we're going to get corrupted. What music you listen to and I listen to. What we read. There's people reading these romance novels and all this stuff and pouring all this stuff. I'm not saying it's all bad, but what I'm just trying to say is that we just think it's all these wicked people. No, no. Most people are in their house today with a phone with access to the internet. And the internet is the biggest companion today. And then you're contacting people on that internet. Can't believe these people, kids who have phones with full access. Now, I'm not talking about they just call their parents. Something you better really look at. What we read, video games that we play, where we go, that can set up being in the wrong place. I remember when I was lost before I got saved in 23, you know, going to bars, and that's where a lot of trouble takes place. People are drunk and say things, and then people, obviously. Someone said this, show me who you hang around with, and I will show you who you are. Yeah. They're going to influence you. I always tell young people, don't be a follower, be the leader. The only thing that will stop you when you're with lost people or people don't want to live for God is that you're trying to win them to Christ. If you don't have that in your mind, don't hang with them. You're going down. These are just some of the verses. I could be here all day quoting verses to you. This is God's word. It's true. I don't care what you think. I'm strong enough. You're not. I'm not. Nobody is. Only Jesus. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 7, I do the things I don't want to do. All right, let's go to the third main point now. How do I impact my home and the world as children? Obey God's commands, which obviously involves the parents. Do not hang around with the wrong company. Be willing, listen, to take correction and change. All right, go to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19. Look at verse 18. So when we're reading the Bible as Christians, people, God may use people, we may read the Bible, and it's like, change that. We have a choice to make. Proverbs 19, look at verse 18. It says, chasten, it means to correct or rebuke thy son, thy daughter, your brother or sister in Christ, while there is hope. Some people have gone so far, listen, no one is hopeless, don't get me wrong, but they're suffering a lot of consequences because they refuse to heed the correction. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. That they're going to like, no, I don't want. Verse 19, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. You know what it's saying in verse 19? Somebody has a problem with anger over and over again. You're always trying to deliver them. They're going to keep doing it. God's got to change their own heart. You can make excuses, but it's not going to change. Verse 20, hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wiser in the latter end. So when you obey God, God's word, you're going to be wiser in life, in your decisions. Remember, all the decisions we make today, over and over and over, we are in the major part of our life. We are here where we are today because of the decisions we made back then. Now, some things are out of our control in our life. I get that. But people complain, I'm here, this, and they'll blame everybody in the sun why they're in that position. No, it's mainly because of the choices that you and I made. That's not where we are. Not completely. Remember, God can trump the bad decisions that people made that affect our lives. He says, verse 22, the desire of a man is kindness, so it's love. A poor man is better than a liar. Isn't that great? A poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. When we fear the Lord, we'll obey God, right? He shall not be visited with evil. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom. He will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Verse 25, smite a scorner or a scoffer. So trying to rebuke a scoffer, and the simple will beware. And reprove the one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. So he's saying, look, a wise person loves rebuke. When you rebuke them, they're going to take it and they're going to change. Verse 26, he that wasteth his father and chased away his mother, what? Instruction. Is a son that causes shame and bringeth reproach. They don't listen. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Let me give you some other ones real quick. We'll throw them on the screen for you. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. My son, despise. I look up that word. It means to squeeze out. It's like you're squeezing out grape juice. Don't squeeze out the chastening or the correcting of the Lord. Neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he corrected, even as a father, a son, in whom he delighted. So when a parent or somebody else comes along and says, hey, man, you're going, it's going to destroy your life. Listen to it. Proverbs 29:17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Sometimes we're afraid to correct because, oh, if I say this and say the right thing, they're going to leave and they're going to get destroyed anyway. You could tell them the truth. They at the end, everyone makes their own choices, right? Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Everybody, all of us. I was talking to a Christian yesterday. I said, your flesh is no better than my flesh. There's no better Christians. There's only more Semitic Christians who are obeying God by the power of the Holy Spirit, so God gets all the glory. There's no better Christians. We're all go astray, left to ourselves. But the rod of correction shall drive it far home. Now, people argue of this literal. It could be literal, but it could be also, there's different ways to correct your kids. Obviously, when your kids are older, you're not spanking them anymore. I asked people who are work for DCF, it's still legal today to spank your kids, but the way they say, you know, is you got to use your hand only on the bottom, and don't leave marks. That's why you don't get in trouble with the law, right? But there's a time when a kid turns 8 or 9, you're not spanking him anymore. There's consequences, right? I heard somebody say about a teenager, if you want to read a teenage boy, take him out to eat, sit down, talk to him, and then spell out the consequences. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. If you do this, it's going to happen. That's one of the best things to do. I did it with my kids one time. I don't know if Ashley's sitting here remembers, but I sat down with some of the kids and I said, hey, if you do this, what should happen? And they listed all the things, and they were harder things than I would have gave them to do. They know you get this, this is the consequence. You do this, this guy. And it's all up front. It's not out of emotion like at that moment. Ah, you're grounded for life. We do stupid stuff like that, right? Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him in good season. It disciplines. Remember Nathan rebuked David? And David took heed. Right? He committed adultery and then he committed murder. But you know what? After he died, God still said, he's a man after my own heart. Now, no one would say that, right? If you knew somebody and they died, committed murder, I mean, they killed somebody, committed adultery, you'd say afterwards, hey, Joe, well, Joe was a great Christian, wasn't he? 1 Kings 15:5. Because David did that was right in the eyes of the Lord, of course not. He talks about it, just one thing. He turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. And then he says, save only the matter of Uriah. Just this one thing that he did. Remember, Jesus said, if you become angry, your brother committed murder already. Jesus said, if you look after a woman to lust or a man, you've committed adultery already. So God looks deeper into the heart. All right, so three things, right? Obey God's command, obey your parents. Don't hang with the wrong crowd. Read your Bible every day and be corrected by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and you will be blessed as a child or a child of God. Now let's talk about the results of being obedient children of God or just in general. Let me tell you, as I study this, obedience is really attractive, and I'm going to show you that, okay? The Bible says, you know, in many different verses, 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Psalm 119:45, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. See, there's freedom in it. We think it's the opposite. It's binding. It's like a teenager. I can't do whatever I want. My mom is, she don't let me do this, she don't let me do that. That's what they think. And that's what we think, too, as children of God. We don't like when God says, do this. All right, the first thing, you're taking notes real quick. I'm going to go through these. We will be a blessing to our parents. You're in Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 23:15. Of course, we'll be pleasing to God as well. Go to Proverbs 23. Look at verse 15. All right, let me do this real quick. My son, if thy in thy heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reign shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. See, when they're saying right things, they're obeying. Let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. Hey, listen up, teenagers or anybody. When you see people disobeying God, going off and saying, man, look, they're having a great time. And I'm over here, I can't go to that thing, or I can't do this. Just wait. It's not going to end pretty. For surely there's an end of their expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Guide their heart, thine heart in thy way. Be not among those wine bibbers, among riotous or glutton eaters of the flesh. Mark this verse down, verse 21. Memorize it, please. I was quoting this verse to somebody the other day who is way off. And I gave him this verse that said, for the drunkard, right? Not alcoholic, that's the world's term. For the drunkard and the glutton, that's an undisciplined person, shall come to poverty. And drowsiness or laziness shall clothe a man with rags. Look, you're lazy in any area of your life, it's going to cost you, whether it's your finances, your relationships, you don't pour into your relationships, your health. Whatever it is, we're lazy in those areas. It's going to lead to that. That is a powerful verse. So heed that today in all of our areas of life. What do we need to change? You want a better marriage, man, you need to pour in. What are we pouring in? Finances, let's get on a budget. Let's give to God. Let's obey what God says. There's great principles here. I will someday. You're going to be in poverty in those areas. Hearken unto thy father and that beget thee. Despise not thy mother when she is old. By truth, sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Thy father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give thy heart and let thine eyes observe the ways. Let me give you some other ones real quick. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son maketh a glad father. That means brightens the father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. That word heaviness means depressed, sorrow. Proverbs 27:11, my son, be wise and make a heart my heart glad that I may answer him and reproach me. Talks about criticize him. Proverbs 23:24, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy in him. Proverbs 15:20, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother among the brethren. So look, when there's people underneath you and you're obeying God's word, what a blessing it is to them. But if you're not, John said this, John 4:4, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He's talking about spiritually, of course, not his physical children. So we went to Atlanta, come back. We're in a shuttle from Hartford. It's like 12 o'clock. Our flights got delayed. So we're sitting there in the gate waiting. The stewardess is not showing up, so we have to wait. And then I hear the next gate over, a pilot's not showing up. So I called Alicia, and I said, what's going on here? Can't you just fly with three, stewardess? Do you have to have four? She goes, you have to have four. I said, she goes, during the day, there's one floating that can quickly take, but you got to wait for the fourth one. I said, what about a pilot? They said, there's the two-hour out pilots waiting to come, so you have to wait. So we had to wait. We get on the plane, and they said, there's a mechanical problem with the plane. One of the panels is out, so we got to wait now for that. So when we get home, it's like 12, we finally get into Hartford, where we took a shuttle to park our car, so we don't have anybody come pick us up at 12 o'clock. So anyway, we get on the shuttle, it's all packed. There's a 7-year-old boy, and the guy goes to him, wow, you're up late. And he's talking to them. They get off the shuttle. He gets up and says, have a great night. Like, this kid was like, well, like, what? And so I said to the parents, you could raise a great kid here. I was like, this is awesome. The 7-year-old, respectful, obedient. See, he was a blessing. Everybody noticed it on the shuttle. He was a blessing to the people around him. So we're obedient, following God's word. You're a blessing, not in your home, but way outside of your home. That's what happens. And as a Christian, the same thing. You're a blessing to the world when you act as a Christian. Yeah, there's people that are going to go against you, but everybody wants, if you're the boss, right, and I'm a Christian and I work unto the Lord and I'm honest, that's what, I'm never going to get fired. Remember, we work as unto the Lord, not to people. All right, quickly, I wish I had another hour. I got to go quick. But we will be more at peace when we obey God, corrected by God. Don't hang with the wrong crowd. Ephesians 6:3, I'm not going to turn there. It says that it may be well with thee. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, right? And it says that it may be well with you. The word well is you in the Greek, and it has to do, you're going to be well off. Roger Staubach was the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. And Tom Landry, back then, he called all the plays. Every single play. Only once in a blue moon was Roger Staubach allowed to call a play. He said, I was so frustrated that I didn't have no authority as the quarterback. He said this, quote, I fessed up to the issue of obedience. He said, once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory. So a lot of times we don't have peace, like, right, we're at work. I think the boss is saying this, that's stupid. I should do this. Hey, go with your things and say, hey, I think we should do it this way. If they say, no, do it this way. You'll have peace if you just obey. As long as it's not sin. But we don't think so, because we go by what we feel and what we think is greater. And that's a lot of our turmoil. As I was studying this obedience thing, and I was like, we think we're smarter. But in the end, we're disobeying God. And that's why we don't have peace. I want you to get that. I don't know. Think about it in your own life. And remember, those who are in position of authority and you tell people what to do, we're going to be held accountable for that. So don't think, I just want to be the boss. Let me tell you, it's not easy being the boss. The next thing, we will prolong our quality and length of life. Ephesians 6:3 goes on to say, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Think about Caleb and Joshua. They had faith, they obeyed God. They went into the promised land, but everybody else didn't. 29, they all died. The next one, God is pleased. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Right? Unto the Lord. So I found this other funny kind of illustration, but there's this governor, Christian Hooter, was the governor of Massachusetts. He was running for a second term, and he was really hungry one day, and it said he had a busy morning, you know, chasing for votes. He arrived at a church barbecue late in the afternoon, and he moved to the serving line. He held out a plate to the woman serving chicken, so she puts one piece of chicken on his plate. And he goes, "Excuse me, do you mind if I have a second piece of chicken?" She says, the woman said, "Sorry, I'm supposed to only give out one piece of chicken to each person." And then he said, "But I'm hungry. I want more than one." She said, "Sorry, only one to a customer." And then the governor, you know, he was kind of a modest man, but he said, "Do you know who I am? I'm the governor of the state." And then she said, quote, "Do you know who I am? I'm the woman in charge of the chicken. And I'm only supposed to give out one." See, so she obeyed whoever told her, "I'm only giving out one. That's what I'm supposed to do." So the idea is that we have to be so careful to not please ourselves, but to please God by obeying. And then we'll be pleased in the end. We think it's the opposite. My parents just let me go do what I want. I'm going to be so happy. Not if you end up with the wrong crowd and you end up doing the wrong thing. It's going to destroy your life. All right, E, real quick. It will provide the knowledge of God for direction. Go to Proverbs 2 real quick. Two or three more passages and we'll close. Proverbs chapter 2. There's so many verses on this topic. I'm just trying to kind of pick some of them. Proverbs 2, look at verse 1. "My son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, searchest for her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand and fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." We have to be more concerned about seeking after God and his knowledge and passing that on to our kids than any other PhD, than any other sport, than any other thing. This is the most important thing. I'm not saying all those things aren't bad. Because that I've seen somebody who dropped out of sixth grade and knew the Bible versus somebody who had a PhD and didn't know God. They were much wiser than that person. Maybe I know more about the world, but the world's passing away. God's book, these eternal principles, they're forever. Forever. I found this unknown source that says Ron R. was discussing the kind of fragile things about marriage with his girlfriend and posed the following question. He says, "What if one morning I woke up and you don't love me anymore?" She immediately responded, "There's always obedience." Now think about that. That's biblical. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is an act of your will. It's not a feeling. So you're married to somebody. I don't feel like the love I had when I first got married. The Bible says, well, what is love? It's an act of your will. I'm going to suffer long. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to forgive. It's not a feeling. I don't feel the way I did anymore, so I'm just going to get rid of you. I always tell people, I've talked to people who are having an affair with somebody and they're a Christian, and I said, look, if they'll have an affair with you knowing that you're married, you marry them one day, what's going to stop them from doing the same thing? Listen, we're all a bunch of sinners. God can forgive everything. I'm not. I'm just as wicked as everybody else. But these are just God's principles. F, we procure the favor of God and man. Go to chapter 3 real quick. Verse 1, "My son, forget or don't wander from God's word. But let thine heart keep my commandments, for the length of days and long life and peace shall thou add to it. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck, write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor," kindness, graciousness, and good understanding. Watch this, "in the sight of God and man." Both. I found another illustration real quick. Jonathan Kenneth Kelbrith, in his autobiography, A Life of Our Times, illustrates the devotion of Emily Gloria Wilson, his family housekeeper. It says, it's been a weary day. I asked Emily to hold all my phone calls while I take a nap. Shortly, the phone rang, and Lyndon Johnson was calling from the White House. Get me Ken, she said. This is Lyndon Johnson. He's sleeping, Mr. President. He said not to disturb him. He said, wake him up. I want to talk to him. No, Mr. President. I work for him, not you. Could you imagine? When I called the president back, he could scarcely control his pleasure. He said, tell that woman she can have a job at the White House anytime. So when we obey God's word, people really do like it. Again, I'm not saying when we stand up for Christ we're not get persecuted. I'm just talking in general in life. Wait, he goes, I want that woman who will obey me. Like, I don't have that here. I wish she worked for me. You know, the people that you really can count on that won't drop the ball, I'm just looking at Colette. She's one of them. It's a blessing working with her. But people who keep dropping the ball, they're very frustrating to work with, right? When you're a Christian, we should do everything as unto the Lord. So we should be the best workers wherever we're at. Because we're working for the Lord. We're not working for this company. All right, real quick. I keep saying that, don't I? we are protected by God. Go to Proverbs 3. We're there. Go to verse 21. My son, let not them depart. Again, turn aside from thine eyes. Talk about the word of God again. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall thou be life unto thy soul, grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely. See, there's protection when you walk with God's word. And thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Listen, disobedience to God's word, you cannot sleep. When we obey God's word, we can sleep. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep. Again, there's that idea of protection, thy foot from being taken. Listen, Nick, you sent a text to me yesterday, you know, Romans 8:28, right? God works for those, right? He works for good to all that comes about if we follow and obey him, right? Does that mean it's always good that happens to us? No, but he can turn it to good. And I gave him the illustration of Joseph. His brother sold him off to slavery, right? He went to prison for rape he didn't do. But in the end, in Genesis 15, he says, hey guys, you meant it for evil, but God used it for good. See, even when we're obedient, Joseph was obedient. He obeyed Pharaoh. He obeyed the prisoner. He obeyed Potiphar. He just kept serving and obeying, even though he had a raw deal. See, most people give up or they just complain about everybody. He just kept obeying where he went. And then he became second in all command in all the world. I'm not saying that will happen to you, but the principle is still there. Dr. B. Jem Miller once said, it is a greater deal easier to do that which God gives us to do, no matter how hard it is, than to face the responsibilities of not doing it later. Last one, and we'll close. We are guided to the proper path to take. Proverbs 4:20, last verse we're going to read here. Look at verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. That's your total inner being. For they are like our life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Guard thy heart. Right? Again, that total inner being with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on like a racehorse. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. See, as we obey God's word, general word, you're going to be in the right path of where God's going to lead you. But when we're disobeying, we're in the wrong place. We're in the wrong path. He cannot bless the wrong path. But when you're obeying God's word, you're in the right place specifically he's going to lead you. Oh, yeah. That's what it's saying. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. What's that mean? Obey God's word. He'll exalt you in due time. So remember, you want to bless your parents. You want to bless your siblings. You want to bless your home, the church, your peers, the society, where you work. Three things. Remember, obey God's command. Heed God's correction. And then be careful who you hang with. And that includes all the things that I talked about. Father, thank you so much for your word. I did not make this up. I give you so many scriptures when I preach, and I do it for a reason. This is God's word. It's eternal. If you and I would obey it, we will be blessed in this life and definitely in the life to come. We'll have peace in our hearts. Maybe we won't have $1 billion in our pockets. Remember it said it's better to be a poor man than a liar? But you don't have to be poor. Obviously, you use God's principles of finances. You don't have to live in total poverty. Everybody with their head bowed, their eyes closed, the first thing I'm going to ask you is, have you obeyed God in coming to Jesus Christ only for your salvation? The Bible is simple. We're all sinners. We all go astray. You're not good enough to get to heaven. Your good works can't take away your sin. There's only one thing. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. It's bad news in the sense that you're a sinner and your sin is going to take you to hell. It's the truth. I know people don't want to preach it anymore. It doesn't fill up auditoriums, but it's the truth. God is holy and just, but he loved you so much he came down. In Calvary, he paid for your sin. But you're not automatically saved. Now, what do you have to do? You have to repent, turn from what you're trusting in your sin, and turn and accept Jesus Christ only. Don't wait. You have no promise of tomorrow. And if you accept Christ today only, your sin is gone, the guilt of sin. You get Jesus' righteousness. All this sin goes on him. You receive the Holy Spirit. This book comes alive. Now you have a GPS, eternal GPS. How to enjoy this life. How to live for God. Even when you stumble, he still loves you. He picks you up. I've stumbled many times. But you have this promise of this eternal security. They can't leave you, forsake you. You get back up, you confess your sin, and you move forward, you keep growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord, becoming a better Christian and in a sense of honoring God more, glorifying him, affecting other people. Don't be lazy spiritually. Get into the Bible, read it, memorize it, pour it into others. You'll be a blessing in your home, at the workplace, in the church, in society. And God will bless you and give you favor. All the things that I just went through really quick. So you're here today, say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Maybe you're watching. Talk to me. Talk to somebody. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I'm sure you're sitting here today. You were encouraged by some things, but also you were convicted. And that's that part I talked about, that correction. It's a good thing. Maybe you're from forsaking your devotions with God every day. Maybe you do them once a week. Maybe you haven't done them in a while. I don't know. Get back. That's the first thing. Sit down and enjoy God. Spend time with him. From that will flow you pouring into other people. Maybe you got to cut some things in your life. Maybe you got, this is not as important. Whatever it is. Look at your finances. Look at your relationships. What are you pouring into? What are we doing? Let's change those things. Let's pour in God to one another. But first, God must pour into us. So get back meditating on the word, memorizing it. And your life will start blossoming again. You'll have peace again. You'll have favor with God. And one day you'll see him. And some of the rewards are in heaven. They're not down here. So Lord, forgive us. Forgive me for forsaking your ways sometimes. Hanging with the wrong crowd, if you will. Whether it's watching something, listening to something. I'm sure you're sitting here and you got to change some things. I got to change some things. And then our kids, what are they listening to? How are they hearing us talk? Maybe we got to go and say, will you forgive me? Maybe you're a teenager here, a young person. You got to go to your parents and say, I'm sorry, I've been rebellious. I'm going to obey. But can we sit down and talk, have a discussion? Maybe they can build trust and And you can give, I don't know, just between you guys. Father, thank you for your patience with us. Help us to be patient with one another. Thank you for the gospel, that we could be forgiven, we could forgive. I build stronger relationships, Lord, in these houses, in this church, that we can go out and tell everybody about Christ. In Jesus' name we pray.